This is Focus on WJR with Paul W. Smith. I am Stephen Henderson, standing in for Paul while he is on vacation. One of the great things about living here in the city of Detroit is just how old a place this is. Many of us live in old houses. My house is 116 years old this year. And of course, lots of us work in places and visit places all the time that are quite old. It is part of the personality and character of Detroit, these old buildings, these old places. And it takes a lot of effort, consistent effort, to make sure that they are preserved and treasured in the right way. For many years in our community, an organization called historicdetroit.org has done a lot of that work, standing up for the buildings that are treasures here in Detroit, making sure that they aren't torn down or neglected, but also getting us to celebrate the idea of these old buildings, really appreciate what we have and where we come from. HistoricDetroit.org was founded by a person I've known for a long time, Dan Austin. And he joins us now to talk about this joy of the age of our city and all the great things that that age brings to us and the work that it takes to make sure that we take care of it. Dan, welcome to Focus here on WJR.
Great to talk to you, Stephen. And I believe I speak on behalf of all Detroiters to say it's great to hear your voice back on the radio.
Oh, that's very nice of you to say. It's nice to be back. It's also nice to be back when it's not really my job, Dan. And it's a little more fun when I have less responsibility. So I want to start by having you just talk about what I was talking about, which is how much of a treasure the old buildings and the history here in Detroit are to us as Detroiters. You've spent an awful lot of your time trying to make sure we understand that.
Yeah, I've spent about 20 years of my life dedicated to it, and I don't think it's a stretch to say it's kind of filled my life with purpose, but that effort has changed in focus a lot over the years, as I think Detroit, for really the first time in its 300-plus year history, has finally come to realize the importance of historic preservation and treasuring our past. I mean, I know you and I disagreed on some historic buildings in the past and whether they should be saved, whether they could be saved. And when I started Historic Detroit, it was at a time when we were leveling buildings for surface level parking lots and not giving much thought to the stories that were falling with the bricks mm-hmm. and mortars and being lost. It wasn't just the physical presence on the skyline, but, you know, over the last certainly 10, if not 15 years, we've seen a real shift. And I think that more and more younger people want to live in cities of art and thoughts, architecture, culture, you know, a sense of place and belonging. And that's one of the things that you get when you walk into a 100-year-old building. I mean, you just don't get that. I mean, I don't mean to talk negatively of some of the suburbs, but I mean, like, you know, I was just up in Livonia over the weekend for a vintage postcard show showing you how big of a nerd I am. just driving around, and it was, you know, there were lovely homes and everything, but I mean, it was mostly strip malls and Costco's, and, you know, it's just, it's not the same as walking down Woodward Avenue from Grand Circus and seeing all of these storefronts that predate even your granddaddy, you know. Yeah. I mean, it's a real sense of place. And I mean, people travel all over Europe to ooh and ah over the historic architecture of those places. And finally, thankfully, Detroit has started sprucing up and dusting off its architecture instead of flattening it.
Yeah. What, I mean, other than your own advocacy, which has been really important in this space, what do you attribute that change to here in Detroit? I agree with you that there is far more attention, at least, being given to preservation, and we are having a really different conversation about things like development in Detroit when historic buildings are implicated than we were before. What's the thing that's gotten us to value this more?
I'm sure there are a lot of answers to that question, but for me, I think one of the biggest turning points for Detroit is it came when Dan Gilbert came downtown and started buying up buildings, and he single-handedly resuscitated the downtown real estate market. Mm-hmm. I mean, you know, we were looking, 20 years ago when we had properties like the Statler Hotel, the Lafayette Building. I mean, we had the Fort Shelby and the Book Cadillac were, you know, teed up for redevelopment, but man, those were Herculean feats of financing. And I mean, it was not easy to save a lot of these places. And because it, as crazy as it is to say, it costs more to tear a lot of these buildings down than the land underneath it was worth.
Yeah.
We had basically a skyscraper graveyard downtown. I'm sure, you know, your listeners can remember those days. But I think that Dan Gilbert coming in, putting his money where his mouth is, where his heart was, and buying up these places that no one else wanted to save, I mean, that led to other developers saying, well, what's going on there? And the next thing you know, David Derrida and Eric Means are buying the Metropolitan Building, a building that closed in 1979, I think it was. I mean, I wasn't even born yet when it closed, and I'm 45. So, I mean, you know, it's, yes, I understood some of the arguments being made by people like George Jackson at that time, and I get that now is a much, much different time. Plus, we can't overshadow bankruptcy was an embarrassing moment for the city, but an absolutely pivotal one for helping to further clear the runway so that Detroit's downtown real estate market could take off. So I think that all of those things, plus, like I said, I mean, I'm 45. I grew up out in Oakland County hearing all the stories about Detroit being a dangerous place and nothing down there and Colin Young's a bad guy and all this other nonsense. But now that we've had some years, at least 15 years in between kind of the darkest times of Detroit, and now I think you're seeing more and more people coming downtown to enjoy dinner, Tigers game, go to the Opera House, you know, whatever, and then say, you know what, this is actually amazing. I want to live down here.
Yeah.
And now there are places they can live.
Yeah.
Right, because it used to just be abandoned buildings. So even if you wanted to live downtown, you know, you didn't have the option. Now there are plenty.
Yeah. Okay, we need to take a quick break. We are talking with Dan Austin, the founder of Historic Detroit.org, about these wonderful treasures that are all over our city, especially here in downtown Detroit, and how we make sure that we preserve them. When we come back, we're going to talk about another effort that Dan is making to make sure that we are able to preserve as much as we are here in Detroit. Stay where you are. We'll be right back with more Focus on WJR. This is Focus on WJR, and I am Stephen Henderson, sitting in for Paul W. Smith, who is on vacation. I'm talking with Dan Austin, the founder of HistoricDetroit.org, about all of the wonderful history that we have in the buildings here in the city of Detroit, one of the oldest cities in America, and a place where we didn't always cherish that history, didn't always protect it. HistoricDetroit.org, the organization that Dan Austin founded, is really responsible for a lot of the change in attitude that we've noticed about old buildings here in Detroit over the last decade or so. Dan, I want to talk about a new effort that you are making to make sure that what you've started perseveres. Let's talk about the Austin Past and Future Fund and what it wants to do for HistoricDetroit.org.
Yeah, great. Thank you. The long story, as short as possible for radio, is that I've been doing this for 20 years, and then in August of 2024, I was diagnosed with stage 4 colorectal cancer. And among the reactions to me sharing that news were people who were asking, "Well, what's going to happen to the website once you're gone?" And we thankfully not one of the first things people asked, but it was certainly early on. And Stephen, I never really paid attention to Google Analytics or clicks or any of that other stuff because I was just paying out of pocket for it, doing it because I loved it. And it wasn't until we started looking at the stats and realizing that, oh my God, we had 1.5 million unique visitors last year.
Wow.
I'm sorry. About 1.5 million. So I mean, there's clearly an appetite for this history, and there weren't a whole lot of places to go and find it. So we set out talking to some folks, and it became clear quickly that we could, raise more money than we needed just to run the website, and that we could actually do something beneficial for the city beyond just running a website. And so my wife, Elle, and I set up this fund with two goals. One, to fund the hosting of the website and so that it remains a free, ad-free community resource. But then two, the future part of the name of the fund came from our desire to try to fund scholarships for Detroit youth who share my commitment to giving back to the city. And so those scholarships would go to Detroit residents, 16 to 26, who are wanting to be teachers, architects, urban planners, run a CDO, whatever they want to do, long as it gives back to the city. And we launched that this month. And so far, there's been an overwhelming response. We're still a ways off from our goal of $100,000 raised, but I am emboldened and touched by the outpouring of support that we've already received. But again, we do have a long way to go. All donations are tax deductible 100%. And like I said, the past, preserving it through the website, and then investing in the city's future by offering these scholarships to Detroit kids.
Yeah, I mean, I think that part of it, the investing in the future by stoking that interest that young people have in history and preservation, that is such a critical part of making sure that we don't go back to the days that you were describing at the opening of this interview, where we didn't have the proper appreciation for all the history that's around us and the need to preserve it, making sure that there's a next generation of people who have all of that and have the tools and the experience to make sure that we can actually keep doing it.
Yeah, I guess I would just say that, the kids don't have to necessarily love history. I mean, they don't have to want to be a historian. They can give back to the city in other ways. I wouldn't force a kid to spend countless hours poring over microfiche. But yeah, they need to at least love the city and want to give back to it. And much like I would say to any potential donors who are listening, I mean, maybe you just don't care about the past, you're looking toward the future. Well, that's fine too, because while not everybody is going to care about Detroit history, I think that everybody can agree that we care about the future of the city's youth and creating opportunity for them and giving them that extra boost that they need. And one of the reasons that we set an ambitious goal of $100,000 this year is because I don't want the board to be giving away like nominal scholarships that, might not even cover the kids' books. Like that's being able to afford your textbooks does you no good if you can't afford
If
tuition.
you can't pay the tuition, that's 100% right.
Right, right. So, and that's why we set such an ambitious goal. And again, we're doing pretty well. Last time I checked, we're just shy of about a third of the way to that goal. Obviously, you come out of the gate hot and you get a lot of those friends and family and associates donating, but we still have a long way to go. So if any listeners are interested in either preserving the website for all, making it a free community resource for all, where 20 years of work is there. We have more than 1,000 buildings. There are about 18,000 photos of historic places, both contemporary and historic, and also helping to send some kids to college or technical school or whatever they need to do what they need to do in order to give back to the city. They can, again, make a tax-deductible donation to austinfund.org.
Yeah. Okay, we've got about 6 minutes left before the end of the show, and I want to do something kind of fun. I want first to hear, what is your favorite Detroit historic building, Dan, and why? And then I'll end the show by talking about my favorite historic building here in the city. So
I think I'm more interested in hearing yours.
I don't know which one you would pick. I mean, I know you love old buildings, but I'm really curious to know which one is your absolute favorite.
Yeah, it's like asking the mama of 1,000 exactly. kids to pick their favorite. I think that, you know, it changes. You know, for instance, I never really cared all that much for the Book Tower, but then after seeing the incredible restoration that was done to it,
who doesn't like that now?
quickly went up the ranks. I'm sure my employer would want me to pick Michigan Central Station. but I'm going to go with the Metropolitan Building that I mentioned earlier. Oh. And the reason for that is because I married my wife on the roof of the Metropolitan at the Monarch Club.
Yes.
with the city skyline behind me, it's just incredible views. And so I had the city that I love watching over me marrying the woman that I love. So that's one that I think has quickly ascended since my wedding to the top of the list. But again, it's hard to pick. Some buildings I love because of the history, but they're not much of a looker, much like myself. Others are just incredibly beautiful buildings, but their stories are rather bland. You know, not every building has an amazing story. Yeah. Not every building saw a purple
it's
game.
It's almost an unfair question. I know that, but I wanted to hear you struggle with an answer. But so now I'll tell you what my favorite historic building is here in the city. And in some ways I am struggling the same way you do to pick one. And each time we renovate one of these old buildings that sat empty for a long time, it becomes my sort of temporary favorite. So, I mean, Michigan Central, I think, has occupied my attention for, you know, some time now since it reopened. But it is actually not my favorite. My favorite historic building in Detroit, and this may surprise you, is actually, they call it the Chase Tower now, I guess. But when I was a kid, it was the NBD building, National Bank of Detroit, sitting right
the
on
cube.
Sitting right on Campus Martius. Now, that's not a particularly old building, I don't think. I think it was maybe built in the 50s or the 60s.
Is it 59?
Yeah.
Like that, yeah.
Okay. But the reason I love that building is we went on a field trip when I was in elementary school to that building. And they walked us through it and talked about the bank, of course, and how important the bank was. But they also talked about that building and who designed it and why it was so special, why it looks so different from other buildings in downtown Detroit. And I have never been able to get that out of my mind. They also gave us these little, I think they were, they were not real currency, I don't think, but they were little NBD coins that that we all got, and I probably still have that somewhere in the bottom of a drawer. But again, it's that personal connection that you might have with a building that makes it, I think, stand out in your minds. And we also want to make sure that we're still, you know, sowing those kinds of memories for people, because that makes you value old buildings as well.
And that's why the Metropolitan tops my list, because of my personal connection with it. And that's the point I was trying to make about buildings being made up of more than brick and mortar. They're made up of the stories of the people who make up the city. And so therefore they're representative of our collective history, which is why, if we have time, I'd like to tell you why the cube is my least favorite building.
Oh, it's your least favorite? No.
No, not
yeah, we have about
favorite,
a minute, but I want to hear.
But the reason why is because Detroit tore down the city's first skyscraper in order to build that.
That's true.
Yeah, the Hammond Building, which your listeners can read all about on historicdetroit.org. If you wanted to see the first pictures of the first skyscraper ever built in Detroit, it's there for you on historicdetroit.org, and hopefully thanks to donors for a long time.
Yeah. I forgot about that history. See, that's why historicdetroit.org is important. All right, Dan Austin, it's always great to talk to you. Really wonderful to have you here with us on Focus with Paul W. Smith on WJR. Thanks for joining.
Thanks so much for having me.
And that is going to do it for us on Focus with Paul W. Smith here on WJR. I am Stephen Henderson sitting in for Paul W. Smith. I had a really wonderful time with you, the listeners, and our guests talking about our fair city and our state and our country. Thanks for joining. The Fisher, I should have said the Fisher.